This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. It's time once again for another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, everyone. We've got another 60 minutes or so of old-time radio for you. Beginning this week, as we have been all through the month of October, with an episode of Suspense written by Lucille Fletcher. This one's titled The Furnished Floor, first aired September 13th, 1945. After that, it's A Quick, Incredible But True and Barren Ground. We'll finish off with Vincent Price as the Saint in The Ghost Who Came to Dinner, an episode also known as The Hawthorne House Mystery. This one first aired April 8th, 1951.
The Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California presents Mildred Natwick and Mr. Don DeFore as stars of The Furnished Floor, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear. Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glass full would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you a remarkable tale of suspense. And with The Furnished Floor, a new study written for suspense by Lucille Fletcher, the author of Sorry Wrong Number and other distinguished radio plays, and with the performances of Don DeFore as Mr. Jennings and Mildred Natwick as Mrs. Hawkins, Roma Wines hope indeed to keep you in suspense.
Sit down, rest yourself a minute, Ms. McIntyre, and take a cup of tea. I got some news for you. You'll never guess it in 100 years. Do you remember that Mr. Jennings, you know, my nice tenant that moved away last year? A tall, thin fellow, the one with a pretty little wife, Mabel, who died so sudden last October. Oh, sure, you know him. Most devoted husband I ever seen. Always bringing her flowers and billing and cooing. He moved out upstairs about 2 weeks after she died. So heartbroken he was. Sold every stick of furniture, got rid of the canary and the piano, and just skidooed. I expected any day to hear they'd fished him up out of the river, but no. This morning, while I'm cleaning down the stairs, who do you think should ring my bell?
Hello, Mrs. Hawkins. Remember me?
What? It's Mr. Jennings. Hi, Mr. Jennings. You sure give me a turn. I never expected to see you around this neighborhood again.
Well, here I am. How's the upstairs floor?
Just as you left it, Mr. Jennings. I haven't rented it to a soul.
Well, I want to rent it again.
But you, Mr. Jennings?
That's right. I'm setting up housekeeping again.
Well, if that don't beat getting married again, Mr. Jennings?
In a way. Let's run up and take a look, shall we?
Okay, if you say so. Only, won't it make you feel kind of blue to see the old place again?
Blue? Why should it?
Well, memories, you know.
That's just what I want to find. Memories. Everything just as it was. I hope you've left it just the same, Mrs. Hawkins. No painting or new wallpaper?
Not yet. Thought I'd fix it up to please a new tenant.
Well, leave it just as it was. Please, for me.
Well, here's the keys. Maybe you'd like to go in and look around by yourself.
No. Do come in, Mrs. Hawkins. You were always so very kind. More a friend than a landlady. Oh, how beautiful it looks, even bare. The sunshine always was so warm up here. And the trees. Why, I'd almost forgotten how close the trees were. And there's the marks our sofa made against the wall. And the square shapes of our pictures still on the wallpaper.
Well, it could stand a good cleaning, of course.
Do you remember how Mabel used to sit here of an evening and sing? Now, the upright was over there, and over at the Maxfield Parish. And over near the bay window, above the ferns, the canary sat in his cage. And when she sang Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, he'd always sing with her.
Oh, come now, Mr. Jennings. You'll be getting yourself all fretted up.
Oh, no, no. I assure you, Mrs. Hawkins, it's very important. You see, I'm going to have it again, just as it was.
Is that so?
I've made a list. But in a year, so many details escape one. Like those ferns, for instance. Well, I'd almost forgotten how she loved ferns. Oh, yes, and there was something over in that corner. What was it? A rocker. Her mother's old rocker. It used to squeak over a loose board whenever anybody sat in it.
You mean you're going to try and find all them things again, Mr. Jennings?
Yes.
But you sold all them to junk dealers. You gave them away, but you scattered them every which way when you broke up your home.
I've already been looking. I've collected a lot of things. It isn't so hard. You see, our furniture wasn't very precious to anyone but us.
Well, of course you know what you're doing, Mr. Jennings. It's none of my business, I suppose.
Oh, will 2 months' rent be enough in advance, Mrs. Hawkins? I won't be moving in for another couple of weeks, but from time to time, I'd like to have things delivered.
Well, 2 months will be just dandy. I'll make you a special bargain price, too, seeing you don't want no redecorating. You're sure your lady friend won't want none either, Mr. Jennings?
I hardly think so.
Well, I hope you'll both be very happy here. It's nice to have you back in the neighborhood.
It's good to be home.
Now, Mrs. McIntyre, what would you have done in my place? I admit it gave me a funny feeling, you know. You would think a man had more respect for the dead and her dead only less than a year than to bring a new wife plumb back to the same floor and the same furniture. And I say, what kind of a woman is she, too, to stand for that kind of nonsense? But, of course, it ain't really none of my business. Besides, 2 months' rent, 2 months' rent. Well, Mr. Jennings, what are you doing here this time of night?
I'm moving in.
Moving in?
I intended coming much earlier, but I had so many last-minute things to do, like picking up Dickie and...
Oh, now, don't tell me that's your old canary, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, it's little Dickie. I found him in a pet shop on Third Avenue, in his old cage. He looks pretty chipper, doesn't he?
Well, aren't you the one? I'd have thought he'd have died of lonesomeness ages ago.
Did all my furniture and things get here, Mrs. Hawkins?
Just about. They've been delivering off and on for the last week. You sure got everything back, Mr. Jennings?
Well, pretty nearly everything. A couple of rugs are missing and our old kitchen table and... Oh, yeah, I got the piano. I bought the old upright back from the Sunday school. Well, I've been more than lucky. Miss Hawkins, you won't mind, will you, if I start moving some of it into place tonight? I'll be very quiet.
Tonight? Oh, it's pretty near midnight, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, I know, but I'd have to work all day tomorrow and the next day. You see, there's so little time.
Oh, you're expecting her soon?
Very soon.
Oh, well.
It's got to be all ready before she comes. Otherwise, she won't come.
You don't say, Mr. Jennings.
So, if you don't mind, it'll only be for a few nights. And I won't move any of the heavy pieces after midnight. If you only knew what this means to me, Mrs. Hawkins, how I've waited for months.
Is that so, Mr. Jennings? Well, I'm sure glad you found somebody to make a home for you again, and I hope she's the right girl for you and is going to make you happy.
Oh, she will, all right.
Of course, there are some people I know say a man ought to wait a couple of years, but, well, I was only saying yesterday, certain men are natural-born husbands, and homebodies, they need a home and a woman to look after them.
Yes, that's true. Well, good night, Mrs. Hawkins. I'll try not to disturb you.
Good night, Mr. Jennings. Come in, Mr. McIntyre. No, it's okay. He's at the office. You'll never know we come up. Yeah. Take a look around. He did something. Everything fixed up down to the last knife and fork just exactly as she had it. Don't it give you the creeps? Yep, that's the same canary singing in his cage just like it used to. And look, Mrs. McIntyre, come here in the bedroom. He's even got her clothes hung up in the closet. Now, I'm asking him, Mrs. McIntyre, what do you think the second Mrs. Jennings is going to say to that? Mr. Jennings?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Hawkins.
Well, I've been beside myself with worry, Mr. Jennings. Where you've been all this time, if I may ask.
Right here.
Right here?
What did didn't you hear us come in? I've been to work all day, of course, but last night, a little after one. Oh, perhaps you were sleeping.
Us? You mean you and...
Well, yes. She's come.
You mean she's been upstairs all day?
Certainly.
But I haven't heard a sound.
Well, probably she's sleeping. She was very tired. The trip was more exhausting than I'd dreamed.
Well, you might have stopped by and told me on your way to work this morning, Mr. Jennings. Of course, it's none of my business, but I could have at least introduced myself to my own tenant and maybe even helped her out.
Oh, it's all right. She doesn't want to see anybody just yet.
Oh, no? Well, of course, I wouldn't intrude on your privacy for anything, Mr. Jennings, although I'm sure when the first Mrs. Jennings was alive, we were all friends here.
Oh, no, it isn't that. It's only that in these first few days, everything is so new and strange. She's not quite herself.
Okay, Mr. Jennings. You know best, but if you should want me, you just call down the dumbwaiter, and I'll be right up.
Thanks, Mrs. Hawkins. Thank you. But on no account are we to be disturbed. On no account.
Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you as stars Mildred Natwick and Don DeFore in The Furnished Floor by Lucille Fletcher. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Happier days are here again. People are entertaining more and more, inviting friends over often, enjoying friendly visits in simple, sensible ways. One such way is to serve Roma California Sherry. In the words of famed hostess Elsa Maxwell, I serve my guests Roma Sherry. There is nothing so friendly, so heartwarming, as delicious, glorious, golden amber Roma Sherry, rich in nutty, mellow taste goodness, served cool. When I invite friends in, I always serve Roma Sherry as first call for dinner. And Miss Maxwell might have added, Roma Sherry is most enjoyable later in the evening, too. In fact, any time. Roma Sherry, like all the famous Roma wines, reflects the heritage of carefully selected grapes, freshly gathered at flavor fullness from California's choicest vineyards, quickly but gently pressed. Then by a process as slow as time, brought to liquid perfection by Roma's ancient winemaking skill, and bottled at Roma's famed wineries. Enjoy Roma wines regularly. They are always unvaryingly good. Remember, because of uniformly fine quality at reasonable cost, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. R-O-M-A, Roma wines.
And now Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Don DeFore and Mildred Natwick in The Furnished Floor, a play well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Now, don't get me wrong, Mrs. McIntyre. The last thing in the world I am is a busybody, but, well, you know, I don't go out much on account of my heart, and our two floors are kind of close. Downstairs in my dining room, you can hear most everything that goes on upstairs. Now, wouldn't you have thought that it was something last night? Some talking or footsteps or dishes rattling? Well, I'm telling you, I sat there till midnight, and there wasn't a thing. Nothing at all, except along about 12:30... I hear the dumb waiter come rumbling down the shaft. Well, I just stole a peek, and there, going by with his claws sticking up in the air, is that little yellow canary. Dead.
Hello?
morning, Mrs. Hawkins.
Good morning. And how's Mrs. Jennings today?
Wonderful.
Feeling a bit better now?
Oh, yes. Of course, she's still very weak, but every day I'm sure will make her stronger. I have high hopes for her recovery.
You had a doctor in to see her yet? Dr. Rubenstein, my doctor, is very good.
No. I'm afraid a doctor wouldn't help her. No, no.
Mrs. Jennings! Mrs. Jennings! It's Mrs. Hawkins! The lady downstairs. I heard you were sick, and so I got a little bit of lunch for you, Mrs. Jennings. It's just a little bowl of homemade chicken broth, but it's nice and rich. You sleeping, Mrs. Jennings? Okay, then I'll just slip in quietly with my own keys, if you don't mind, and leave it right beside your bed. Oh, that's funny. Oh, you must have bought a new kind of lock. It didn't say anything to me. Mrs. Jennings! Mrs. Jennings!
Good evening, Mrs. Hawkins.
You've got a minute, Mr. Jennings. I'd like to speak to you, if you don't mind.
Well, Mrs. Jennings is waiting for me upstairs.
It's about Mrs. Jennings. She's still poorly, you say?
Well, she is confined a good deal to her bed.
Well, why don't you get someone in to look after her? I know a good woman. Mrs. McIntyre goes out nursing by the day.
No. Oh, no.
Well, I don't like it, Mr. Jennings, locking her up like that every morning so not a soul can get in. Suppose something happened.
What could happen?
What could happen? Anything could happen. A fire.
Oh, that doesn't worry me.
Or she could get worse and maybe even die.
Oh, no.
Everybody's got to go sometime, Mr. Jennings. I wouldn't take no chances.
Yes, I know. But not her.
Not her? Whatever do you mean, Mr. Jennings?
Because she's immune.
Immune? Against... She ain't got no contagious disease up there, has she?
Oh, no, no, it's nothing like that. Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, please, please don't worry or be uneasy. It's worked out so beautifully. It's nothing that can do you any harm. And we're so happy, so wonderfully happy.
Oh, Mr. Jennings, I'll be up in about 1 hour with a plumber.
A plumber?
I'm sorry to disturb you at supper time, but there's something gone wrong with the pipes, and we think it's upstairs in your floor.
You can't come in. Mrs. Jennings will be sleeping.
Plumber says it's the only time he can come. Unless he comes tomorrow afternoon while you're at the office. You want to leave me your key, Mr. Jennings?
No, I can't.
Well, he'll have to get in there sooner or later, Mr. Jennings. The water downstairs, all black and discolored.
It's out of the question tonight. I'll discuss it with you in the morning.
Okay, Mr. Jennings. Now, Mrs. McIntyre, how would you feel? Your own house going to wreck and ruin. You can't even do nothing about it. I ask you, what kind of a thing's he got up there that nobody can see? I tell you, just sitting here in this silent house night after night gives me the creeps. And with my heart, what is? Well, anyway, his 2 months' rent's up tomorrow. And I got my mind made up.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Hawkins. Well, I didn't know you for a minute standing there in the dark.
Well, I didn't want to miss you this time, Mr. Jennings.
No?
I got your money this morning for next month stuck under the door.
Oh, yes. I had to leave early. I hope it was all right.
No, it wasn't all right. I'm sorry, but the floor's been rented, Mr. Jennings.
Rented?
To a young serviceman and his wife from the fort. They took it sight unseen this morning.
Oh, but you can't.
They're living in a crowded room on 81st Street. It's very crowded. I told them I figured you could probably get most of your stuff out in a week.
A week? I never told you I was going, Mrs. Hawkins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jennings.
If it's a matter of a little more rent, I'll be glad to pay. And sign a lease, any kind of a lease you want.
Not a matter of rent or a lease, Mr. Jennings. It's just... I want my four back, that's all.
But Mrs. Hawkins...
I like neighborly people upstairs, Mr. Jennings. I'm home a lot. I like people I can trust. I don't want no mysteries in my house. New locks on the door so no one can get in and sneakings in and out at night.
Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, I swear you it's all right. Perfectly all right.
All this business about Mrs. Jennings. Never a face at the window, never a footstep on the floor, or a dish rag hung out on the line.
Mrs. Jennings is ill. She's not like other people. Oh, I tell you, I won't go. You've got to let me stay.
Here's your rent back, Mr. Jennings.
I haven't any place to go. This is my home. It's all I have. I stake dead of everything on being here. Everything.
There are other floors vacant in this neighborhood.
No. It's got to be this one, this particular floor. Mrs. Hawkins, if I could buy the house, the whole house.
Buy the house?
Yes, if it's for sale. Perhaps you've never thought of selling it, but I'd give you a good price. I'd scrape the money together somehow.
This house ain't for sale. It happens to be my home, too, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, I know, but you're all alone now. That Mr. Hawkins is... I mean, it's a heavy responsibility. A big house and all those stairs to keep clean and the repairs and all. Oh, Mrs. Hawkins, if you'd only reconsider, I'd do anything.
No, it's too much for me. I don't understand it. Why can't she see me and talk to me? Why can't she invite me in for a cup of tea and explain?
Because she can't.
What's the matter with her that she can't? Is she so ugly or so beautiful or so crazy? Who is she, anyway?
I can't tell you.
Okay, Mr. Jennings. Then that's that.
Mrs. Hawkins. Mrs. Hawkins.
Yes? I'm here. Mr. Jennings, at the dumbwaiter.
Mrs. Hawkins.
Yes, Mr. Jennings. What is it?
I'm sending you down the key on the dumbwaiter. She wants you to come up.
She?
Mrs. Jennings. Okay? Got it?
Yes. She wants me to come up now, Mr. Jennings?
That's right.
Well, it's kind of late, if she ain't so well.
That's all right. She's feeling much better tonight. She wants to talk to you about the floor before it's too late.
Okay. I'll be right up. Okay, Mr. Jennings. I'm here.
Come in. You have the key. Oh.
Okay. Well, where's your lights, Mr. Jennings? I can't see a thing.
I'll light a candle in a moment. Mrs. Jennings prefers the dark. But you know this floor so well, Mrs. Hawkins. Come in.
Oh, where are you, Mr. Jennings?
Right in here, in the parlor, sitting on the sofa.
Oh,
that's just the wind. There's always a little draft blowing in here. But won't you sit down, Mrs. Hawkins?
No, thanks. I'm only going to stay a minute, just long enough to meet Mrs. Jennings.
Oh, but you've already met her.
Already? Never.
Don't you remember? 5 years ago, a rather chilly day, the rain was falling. She rang the bell to ask about the upstairs floor, and you invited her in for a cup of tea.
I'm afraid you're mistaken. That was the first Mrs. Jennings.
That's what I mean.
Oh, no, Mr. Jennings.
Now do you understand, Mrs. Hawkins? Now do you know why we couldn't ever go away?
We? But that couldn't... Well, first, Mrs. Jennings, it's...
I know. You saw her coffin in this very room, didn't you, Mrs. Hawkins? You saw them take her away. I think you even followed out to that cold, dark cemetery.
Well, but...
But she couldn't stay away. She pleaded with me in my dreams to bring her back, and I brought her back.
Oh, no, Mr. Jennings. Don't say such things.
If everything were the same as in the past, she said, we could have the past. If I furnished our old floor with the same things, she'd live here, too.
Excuse me, Mr. Jennings. I'm afraid I...
Oh, no, don't go yet. There's nothing frightening about it. Would you be afraid to look at a forsythia bush that had been asleep all winter? Or a tulip? Or a tree?
I ain't afraid, Mr. Jennings. I only...
Listen.
What?
You don't hear it? In the bedroom? The rocking?
No.
Mabel.
No. Don't call her. I hear it, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, but she wants to meet you. She's always loved you so much.
I just assume some other time, Mr. Jennings. But the door's locked.
It snaps shut behind you. Really, Mrs. Hawkins, don't know. She'll be in a moment. There. She's coming down the hall.
Now, let me out of this. Do you hear? Let me out. My heart won't stand it.
Oh. There she is. There. Standing in the doorway. Mrs. Hawkins. She's going to sing for you.
Sing for me?
This is the first night she's been able to. Do you remember the old song she used to sing of an evening? Swing low, sweet thing.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, please, Mrs. Hawkins. She's very timid. You're frightened.
The dead can't come back. They never want to live on this earth again.
Go on, Mabel, dearest. Don't mind. You're looking very beautiful tonight, my darling. I like that dress. Do you remember when we bought it? On our first wedding anniversary.
Why don't they all come back then? Why couldn't my poor old John do?
Sit down, dearest. Now it seems like old times again. The flower in your hair, the canary singing in his cage.
No, it came like... Oh, I told you. My heart. Oh, get a doctor, quick.
Your voice was always like a bird's to me. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard it. On an evening in spring. At the Calvary Baptist Church.
Doctor.
Play, dearest, play. Go on, dearest. It's all right. Sing. Swing low, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come for to carry me.
Brought you Mildred Natwick and Don DeFore as stars of The Furnished Floor. Tonight's study in Suspense. This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines, the sponsor of Suspense. When planning dinner for family or friends, every woman will be interested in the suggestion of famed hostess Elsa Maxwell. The serving of good, tasty meals attractively is an art, but so simple. Dine by soft candlelight and serve Roma California Sauterne, that vintner's masterpiece with as much glamour as a Hollywood star. Pale golden Roma Sauterne has not only glamour, but a delicacy of fragrance and goodness of taste that lends enchantment and fullness to the pleasure of dining. Enjoy Roma Sauterne often. And here's a hint on how to make better cocktails. Make them with zestful, full-flavored Roma vermouth. the vermouth of almost 100 rare herbs, made and bottled in the heart of California's famous vineyards, yet surprisingly low-priced. Try Roma Vermouth soon, won't you?
Mildred Natwick will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production Yolanda and the Thief. Don DeFore is currently being seen in the Hal Wallace production You Came Along, a Paramount picture. Next Thursday, you will hear Miss Myrna Loy, a star of Suspense, Radio's Outstanding Theater Thrill.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Philosophers in their writings, as well as ordinary men in their everyday lives, are accustomed to make a sharp distinction between the animate and the inanimate, between mind and matter. But in the annals of the strange and the incredible, the line of demarcation between the two often grows dim. Witness, for example, the astonishing case of the earth that was consecrated to murder.
It was on the night of July 16, 1823, that William Wood met his death. He adventured after dark along the lonely road that ran between Manchester and his native village. And he'd not gone more than a mile or so when...
Hold a minute!
Well, what is it you want?
I think you know what we want.
If you're referring to my purse, I'm afraid I must disappoint you.
You hear that, men? Well, perhaps we can make him change his mind. Let him have it now.
For all his courage, William Wood was no match for these three ruthless men. In less than a minute, they had pinned his shoulders to the ground and were rifling his pockets of everything they contained.
I'll be able to identify you, every one of you.
Well, in that case, perhaps we'd better make sure you don't. Harry, give me that club you're carrying.
For God's sake, man, don't! No, no!
It was a brutal murder. So violently was the club used that William Wood's skull was forced into the soft ground. And the next day, when his body was found and carried to the Jodrell Arms at Whaley Bridge, the hole remained there. Before the year was out, a legend began to spread throughout that whole section of England. And eventually it reached the ears of Alfred Fryer, a man who had written a book called Wilmslow Graves. When he arrived, accompanied by John Fox, one of the local townsmen, the hole in the earth was still there.
There it is. That's where his head was lying when they found him. Look at any other hole in the ground and... after the first heavy shower, you'll find it all silted up. But not this one. Nothing fills up this hole.
Well, it's true. There's nothing growing in it.
And there never has been. Not since he died here.
The imperturbable Mr. Fryer proceeded to collect a pile of stones from the road and pack them tightly into the hole. And when all traces of the cavity had been removed, he remarked...
Well, it doesn't seem to object too strenuously to being filled.
Just give it time, sir.
All right, we will. Let's go and have a glass of ale. And then we'll come back and see.
It was just an hour later that John Fox and Alfred Fryer returned to the spot.
Good Lord! Look! The sod and the stones! They're scattered all around the embankment.
Again and again he filled the hole. And again, its contents were mysteriously ejected. In setting down the strange story, Alfred Fryer made no effort to explain it. In the eyes of his readers, he would have seemed a fool to have announced that a lifeless, senseless piece of earth could be rendered barren by an act of murder that was perpetrated on it. And yet, how else can one account for this astonishing fact? A fact incredible but true.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes, Louis?
Starting to rain.
So it is.
You couldn't get a dinner back in town. You had to travel all the way out here in the country to eat.
Louis, I was invited to a dinner party, and Long Island is hardly the country.
It's full of trees, ain't it?
True. This does happen to be a rather lonely spot, but...
The rain is getting heavier, too. I should have stood in Brooklyn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Louis.
What is a cabbie from Brooklyn doing out here in the middle of nature?
Well, he seems to be driving a cab. Louis.
Yeah?
Is it possible that the roof of your cab leaks?
It's possible.
It's leaking.
On you?
On me.
Well, after all, Mr. Temple, according to the chemistry books, we're composed of 98% water anyways.
Perhaps. I find the percentage high enough without any additions, however.
There's no extra charge. We've got... Hey, Mr. Temple, the motor... It stopped.
Yeah, so I noticed. Discouragement?
No, it's possible the hood leaks, too.
Oh, that's nice.
No, don't blame the motor. After all, it ain't composed 98% water.
It shortly will be. While we sit here and calmly contract pneumonia.
Who's calm? Look, Mr. Temple, you know something? This could be the beginning of, like, a real horror story. It's the nighttime with two guys stuck out here in the wilderness.
Long Island.
The rain is raining, the thunder is thundering, and I'm scared. You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did. Oh, sound came from the left through those trees.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I see lights.
It must be a house. Doesn't seem very far away.
But that's where the dog yelled from, huh?
Yes, except that judging from the sound, the dog was outside. That's strange. Why would a dog be out in this downpour?
Maybe he read a book on chemistry. Or maybe he's just leading the dog's life. That was a joke, I think.
Yeah. And I may laugh later. At this moment, there's someone running down the road.
Yeah, from the direction of the house. Look, he's heading for us.
I hope you don't mind, but can you give me a lift back to Glenville?
Oh, we'd be glad to, except that we're stuck here ourselves. However, you can join us inside. It's slightly less damp.
Thanks. But I won't stay long. I don't care for a neighborhood.
Yeah, how did you get here?
I'm a cab driver.
Well, where's your cab?
Back there.
That house?
Yeah, the Hawthorne place.
Well, why didn't you take your cab when you left?
Because I was in a hurry. Because there was things closer to the camp than I was.
What kind of things?
Listen, young man. Nobody lives in the Hawthorne house. Nobody's lived there for over 100 years. So tonight, back in town... I picked up a fare, and where does he want to go? The Hawthorne house. I'm an old fool, so I take him there. He gets out at the house, tells me to wait, goes inside. Well, I walk around to stretch my legs. Then I notice the house is all lit up. I think that's mighty queer, but I figure maybe somebody new bought the place.
Well, perhaps someone did.
No, because I go around to the side, and I look into the house through the big front window, and I see who's in the house. It ain't anybody new.
Oh, who was it?
It was the folks who used to live in that house 100 years ago.
Huh?
And what was worse, they were sitting around a table eating dinner.
Oh, I see. You say they were the people who lived there 100 years ago. Well, how could you know that?
Because of the way they was dressed. Because of the way they looked. Mister, I've lived in Glenville all my life. And there's pictures of the Hawthorns going way back. In the Glenville Town Hall.
Well, perhaps the people you saw were descendants of the original Hawthorne.
Sure, except nobody dresses that way anymore. Except that one of them was bleeding onto the tablecloth with his throat cut open, and another was putting food into his mouth, only he didn't have a face around that mouth.
Look, you're positive you didn't imagine...
All right, I imagined it. I'm crazy. Think whatever you like. But me, I'm getting out of here. So long.
Let's us get out of here, too, Louis. Hmm?
Oh, that's swell with me. Are we going to walk to Glenville?
No, I'd like to take a look at that house.
Why?
Well, we may still be in time for dinner.
Mr. Templer, I ain't hungry. And besides, that guy might still maybe be bleeding.
I doubt it.
You do, huh? Why?
You're forgetting we're 98% water, aren't you?
Oh, that answer's supposed to cheer me up.
It's the dog I'm worrying about, Louie.
Why?
Well, out here, a dog would be kept for companionship, protection. Therefore, why was that dog put out in the rain?
I'd just as soon forget the dog. Ooh, somebody is busy not paying attention to me. Oh, hey, that's the house, huh?
Yeah, obviously. Colonial architecture, large, rather pretty. Brilliantly lit.
With colonial electricity?
Candles, Louie. Huh? You can see them through that large window. Chandeliers ablaze with candles.
I can't see anything else except the ceiling. Oh, that must be the dining room.
Yeah, probably.
Mr. Templer, is all this real?
It seems to be. Hey, bell pull on the door, huh? Mm.
Ooh, the dog don't like a ring in the bell. Look, Mr. Temple, look. An elephant with teeth.
Yeah, it's a large dog. It's drenched.
Look out for your hand. He could easily swallow it. Ooh, look, now he's heading for me. Mr. Temple, did I have to come all the way out here to feed a dog?
Oh, don't be silly, Louie. He likes you. He's looking up at you.
Yeah, trying to decide which part to start on.
Louie, there's positively a light in his eyes. For all you know, you may be his ideal.
Yeah, sure. His ideal dog food. Oh, get down. Mr. Temple, leave us go inside, huh?
No one answered the bell. I wonder... Yeah, it's open.
Hey, look, the pooch. He's leaving.
That's strange. He sounds terrified. But of what?
I didn't say a thing.
Hallway seems empty. Let's go in.
Ooh. Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Not even a chain clanking, not even a creaking.
Hey, Louie, there...
What?
There's a door down the hallway. It's probably the dining room.
I ain't hungry.
The house is old, dusty, unused. But there is a light.
Yeah, maybe they forgot to turn the gas off when they all died or something.
Uh-huh. It's the dining room.
I ought to run out and buy some oil for the door.
Large table in the center, chairs all around. White linen and polished silver on the table.
Yeah, plus dishes with food.
Yeah. And food that's warm, Louie.
Look, Mr. Templer, I don't like this. A house in which nobody's lived for 100 years, miles from anywheres, all lit up with candles in the middle of the night, a table with fresh cooked food on it, and there's no one, no one at all at the table.
Unless we can't see them, Louie.
Found a lot of cobwebs, Mr. Templin, a lot of empty rooms, but nothing living.
No, may as well head back to the dining room.
Don't let your appetite tempt you. Probably by now all the food has vanished.
Hey, listen to that sound.
Yeah, like dishes rattling.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe the guests all came back.
They were in the house. It would mean they'd all have to rush out into the rain, but why?
They were thirsty, maybe, I don't know.
The door's ajar. Shh. Perhaps we can look in without being seen.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't believe it. A butler. An old guy dressed in clothes that belong in a museum. Look at, he's got knee pants on with lace cuffs.
And at that table, where there's no one seated, he's serving dinner.
Maybe he's just practicing.
For what?
I heard of ghost writers. Maybe he's a ghost butler.
Suppose we go in and find out, huh?
Yeah.
Good evening.
Be still, if you please, be still.
He's afraid we might disturb the guests.
He's gathering some of the dishes. Going to the swinging door. Probably leads to the pantry.
Look, he's waving on us. Should we wave back?
No, he wants us to join him. Mm-hmm. Come along.
Uh-huh. Serving pantry.
I beg your pardon.
Indeed you should.
But you are...
Horton. Horton's the name, of course. But the footman must have told you that.
The footman?
Caleb, he let you in, didn't he? Shouldn't have directed you to the dining room, of course. But then he's getting old. You'd better go to your quarters at once, there behind the main staircase. Glad you came along. We need you. Caleb isn't the man he used to be. But then he's been with the Hawthorns for so many years. I remember when he entered service.
You do?
It was the year old Boney got his toes toasted at Moscow.
Old Boney?
Can't stand around gossiping all evening. Guests might notice. Get to your quarters, man. I've work to do.
Hey. Look, he ducked out.
Yeah. The door's locked. Probably a spring latch, which means we may as well go back to the dining room. Hmm?
Look, you know, something's wrong with this whole thing. Mr. Templer. Who is Old Boney?
Huh? Oh, that happens to be the nickname the English had for Napoleon, Louis.
Oh, fine. So Horton says he remembers the year Old Boney got his toes toasted at Moscow. Look, my brother-in-law, Joey, you know, happens to be a very educated man.
College man?
No, graduated from the United States Army. He's now a mechanical-type engineer. Look, anyway, once he told me Napoleon was in Moscow in 1812.
Yes, your brother-in-law was correct.
But, Mr. Temple, that would make this guy Horton over 150 years old.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid it would.
A guy over 150 years old is dead. So what's Horton doing walking around, huh?
Well, he may have been too busy to lie down and die.
That does not put a twinkle in my eye. Look, Mr. Temple, I want to go home.
Louis, there's a pattern here of some kind. A pattern for horror. And if that pattern is to mean anything, I... Hey, Louis.
Huh?
That closet there.
Yeah, it's a closet. Yeah.
Yeah, suppose we open it.
Look, I don't like to mention this, but in all old families, you know what they keep in closets? They keep skeleton in closets. Temple, it fell down.
Yeah. No skeleton, however.
That I can see for myself.
Fortunate thing, on the whole.
Why, what's fortunate about it?
Well, with a skeleton, you could never tell whether or not its throat had been cut.
His throat has been cut?
Yeah, thoroughly.
Let's go take a trip someplace. Let's...
Louis.
What?
Haven't you realized something else?
I don't think I want to.
This man here is dressed just as we are, not in the costume of a dead age.
Well, it didn't help him any. Oh, you found something?
Yeah. Long brown hair is clinging to his clothes and... various papers. Yeah. In life, Louis, his name was Charles Gray. He was a lawyer.
Oh, the Bar Association ain't gonna like this.
There's something else.
What?
He was carrying this document, Louis.
Yeah, what is it?
A copy of the... last will of one Samuel Hawthorne.
Hawthorne? Him we didn't meet yet.
No. Lots of closets we haven't opened yet either.
Yeah, we're not going to if I can help it. Well, what does the will say? And you better read fast because all them candles, you know, are beginning to give up.
I, Samuel Hawthorne, being sound of mind and body, do hereby make this my last will and testament. It is my desire that all my heirs in time to come, in order to inherit my vast fortunes, must at least once a year open Hawthorne House and there give a ceremonial dinner to the neighboring gentry.
In costume?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
At this dinner, everyone present must wear clothing of my time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My heirs must be of high moral repute and avoid divorces. Obviously, the dead man here, Mr. Charles Gray, was the lawyer in charge of the estate and presumably came here to make sure the terms of the will were met.
Okay, so now we know the ghosts weren't really ghosts. Yeah, but what? We haven't seen any of them.
It's true. Nor any neighboring gentry. However, that stipulation was probably waived.
Yeah, look, Mr. Temple, you know, we better maybe get the police.
Yeah, there aren't any phones around here, Louis.
Couldn't we walk to Glenville?
No, Louis, I think we're here for the night.
Oh, fine. It's right in with that pattern for horror you mentioned. Oh, all I personally need right now is for someone to scream good and loud. And... Mr. Temple, this makes the second time we've searched the house and found nothing.
That was a woman screaming, Louis.
Maybe it was a ghost.
Ghosts aren't supposed to scream. They clank chains.
Yeah, maybe this here ghost didn't know that. What, back to the dining room?
Yeah, I suppose. Only room in the house with lights.
Is that good? Maybe the corpse took a walk. No. Still here.
Yeah, and still dead.
Ah, fellas. You're having fun?
Dressed up like Napoleon, too. Look, he ain't walking very straight.
I hate to seem inquisitive, but, Mr. Gray, his throat's in a bad way, isn't it?
Well, it's not especially normal. I'm Simon Templer. And you?
James Hawthorne, sir. Besides housebreaking, your occupation is what? You're the saint, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, isn't the slitting of larynxes rather an odd occupation for the saint?
Well, it would be if I had cut Mr. Gray's throat. However, you're Samuel Hawthorne's heir?
Yeah, the current one, yes. You've been snooping.
Well, there was a clause in the will about divorce.
You've been overdoing that snooping.
You're married, Mr. Hawthorne?
Sorry. would have helped supply a motive, I suppose, but I'm not, nor have I ever been, fortunate or unfortunate enough to be married.
A woman screamed a few moments ago. Who was she?
I didn't hear.
But you couldn't have failed to if you were in the house.
But I wasn't.
But you must have been. It's been raining out. Your clothes are dry and spotless.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't in the house, and yet I was. You searched the house, I presume?
Yes.
You overlooked the cellar.
I didn't find one.
It's a tricky place to get to. The entrance is behind the chimney in the parlor. It has something to do with colonial politics, perhaps. At any rate, I was down there.
You're fond of cellars?
Well, when they were equipped with bottles and bottles and bottles of Napoleon brandy, yes. Now, if you don't mind, I'll sit down. I have another few hours to remain in costume and here in order to comply with the terms of the will. I'm sleepy. I shall, therefore...
That's polite.
It's more probably brandy.
So what do we do, sit here and listen to him snore?
Napoleon keeps cropping up all the time. Mm. Louis, suppose we go downstairs and have a look at his bottles,
Oh, some staircase down to the cellar.
Yeah, it's very narrow. My shoulders keep rubbing against the wall.
And a dirty wall, too. Hey, look, the cellar's all lit up. Candles on barrels. Hey, and lots of barrels, not to mention kegs and casks and everything.
Hands up!
Yeah, casks and bonds and...
I said hands up.
With 42 caliber revolvers. 42?
You didn't expect me to be armed, did you?
I'm afraid we didn't expect you at all, Miss...
Naturally, you would say that. But this isn't going to work out the way you thought.
I'm afraid I haven't had any thoughts recently.
Look, Mr. Temple, she's running up the stairs.
Yes. Shh. Hey. She bolted the door behind her.
Oh, Mr. Templer, that was a very solid type of door leading to the cellar. And the cellar is about 6 miles underneath the ground, and we're locked in.
Oh, don't worry, Louis. We'll be released in time.
In time for what? A funeral?
That girl was beautiful, Louis.
She's on the other side of a locked door, so what good is it doing you, huh?
I can worry.
Oh, this is an occupation for a grown man. Worry about what?
The part she's playing in this entire mask.
Mr. Templer!
Yeah, those were shots.
Did they answer your question?
Hardly. We don't know who shot at whom.
The girl had a revolver.
Yeah, so she had.
Still locked?
Yeah, still locked. Don't bother, Louis. No one will answer.
Oh.
May as well go down again and make ourselves comfortable.
Yeah. For how long? 20 years?
Oh, don't be silly, Louis.
You got an optimistic thought?
We'd never last 20 years down here.
You know something, Mr. Templer?
Hmm?
I'm beginning to feel aged in the wood.
You better restrain yourself.
Hmm.
We've only been down here half an hour, perhaps.
Hmm. Hey, the Marines have landed.
Yeah.
Now, let's get another bottle. Get another bottle.
Definitely an amphibious
good
operation.
For the Mr. Templer. Tripling, huh?
Well, not exactly.
Ah, very naughty of you. Don't mind admitting that's why I'm here myself. Need another bottle of brandy. Don't know what happened to the one upstairs. It's all empty. Must have evaporated, huh?
Oh, perhaps those shots frightened it out of the bottle.
Oh, you had them, too, huh?
Yeah.
I had them myself, you know. Matter of fact, I'm violating no confidence when I tell you those shots were fired at me.
Whoever shot at you couldn't have had very good aim.
Fortunately for me, no. Carla, dear cousin Carla. Happens to be, and I permit myself to be vulgar, a lousy marksman. Or should I say markswoman?
Carla being blonde and beautiful.
Oh, you've married her. She's next in line to Samuel Hawthorne's pretty little fortune, you know. If I should happen to be disqualified or dead.
Well, you have your bottle. Suppose we go upstairs,
An idea. Confound the staircase. Plaster walls. Comes off from one's shoulders, eh? Can't rub it off, either. Back in the parlor. Mr. Temple, you have a reputation for these things. Who cut Mr. Gray's throat?
A murderer.
Oh, very pretty, Whitster. But why?
It was Mr. Gray's task to see to it that the provisions of the will were observed. His death, therefore, must have had something to do with that. You're a bachelor?
Indeed I am.
Was he?
No. A pretty little wife. Oh, she'll be desolate. As a matter of fact, merely thinking about her grief makes me dizzy. Therefore, touching this bottle, and I hope you won't think me too terribly selfish, I shall toddle off to Betty by a dusty bed, perhaps, but it's almost morning. Hey, good night, John.
Him, I'm very glad to see go. But how about us?
Now we go for the police, Louis, if your cab will start. However, Carla...
Oh, let's not look for her, huh, Mr. Templar? A girl with all those calibers don't appeal to me.
Oh, you're being narrow-minded, Louis. After all those shots, how many calibers can she have left?
It's wet out, it's cold, it's dark, but do I mind? No. Out here, at least, no ghosts. No corpses, neither.
Louis.
What?
Look.
Oh, the other cab.
Let's have a look, Louis.
Oh, I didn't like that. Should I take a look, too?
You might as well.
Okay. I'll take... Wow. It's the frightened cab driver, Mr. Templer.
Yes, except that nothing will frighten him anymore.
Mr. Templer, this here's not a healthy neighborhood for throats. His has been cut, too.
Yes, same technique as used on Gray. Louis, we've got to get back to the house.
You don't like our throats the way they are?
Come along, Louis. It's no time to go to Glenville.
There's lots of time.
In which a murderer may kill again.
Oh, let's change a few subjects, huh?
Very well. Yeah, I've got three questions, Louis. Why did the cab driver, whose body we've just seen, lie to us? Why did Carla think she was in danger from us? And can a bachelor be divorced?
The answer to the last one, I know he can't.
Right. Yeah. Therefore, we know who the murderer is, don't we?
Dog.
And we know about him, too, don't we?
What do we know about him?
You remember I mentioned the long brown hairs clinging to Gray's clothes?
Yeah.
Well, those hairs must have come from the dog we saw. The dog, therefore, belonged to Gray.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mr. Templer, down the hall in that alcove?
Yeah, if I move quickly.
Oh, no! Let go of me!
Hello, Carla. Going to run away?
No, but I won't let go of the gun.
Yes, you will. It's much too heavy for you.
Oh!
Now, just come along with us.
All right. If you don't try anything.
I won't, except for catching a killer.
A killer? But what...
We want the dining room.
Well, everybody back so soon?
Nearly everyone, Mr. Hawthorne.
Oh, I'm glad you got Carla's gun, Mr. Templer. She might not miss me again.
We don't know that it was she who shot at you, do we, Carla?
Why?
It would be easy to discover if this gun has been fired recently.
Well, maybe I did shoot at him, but I...
There's something else that should come first. Charles Gray was murdered in this house earlier tonight. Why? Both you, Mr. Hawthorne, and Carla covered a fortune. That's why you're both here.
Yeah, Mr. Temple.
Louis, all Mr. Hawthorne had to do was spend the night here in appropriate costume and also refrain from appearing in a divorce case. A bachelor can appear in a divorce case, can't he, Mr. Hawthorne?
You found the papers for the divorce suit on Gray. Maybe me as correspondent, eh? He was always so touchy about his wife.
I didn't find them. Doesn't matter, however. I knew they or something like them had to exist. On the other hand, if Horton, the ghost butler we found serving dinner earlier this evening, is really insane...
You're trying to pin the murder on him?
He left the house in time to have committed it.
Yeah, there's usually a motive, you know.
Mr. Hawthorne, which murder are you talking about?
Gray's murder, naturally.
No. Because Horton wouldn't have had to leave the house to kill him. Gray was murdered in this room. But you accepted my statement about having to leave the house to murder. We're both talking about the cab driver's murder, aren't we?
What cab driver?
The one who brought Gray here, the one who saw Gray murdered, the one who fled and then thought things over and decided to return for a little exercise in blackmail.
Yeah, Mr. Temple, you said he lied to us, but what about?
You remember, Louis, he told us he'd looked into the dining room through the front window and had seen the ghosts at dinner?
Huh?
Do you also remember, however, that when we got to the house...
Yeah, we looked in the front window, too.
Yes.
Yeah, and all we could see through it was the chandeliers and the ceiling. I said so myself.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The cabbie lied.
And died for it.
Look, I haven't been outside the house all evening.
You must have been. You claimed you were in the cellar when we first met.
Yes.
That's why you didn't hear Carla scream. But the cellar stairway is narrow. It's impossible to avoid getting plaster on your shoulders. Plaster that can't be rubbed off. And yet when we first met, I remarked that your clothes were spotless.
They should have been wet.
Nonsense. You'd had time to change from your ordinary clothes. You didn't think of rubbing plaster on the costume, however. Too bad. You might then have applied to the scarlet of murder a coat of whitewash.
I was hiding in the cellar because James had threatened me. You see, I knew Mr. Gray was going to sue his wife for a divorce and name James.
And if he did, you would inherit all the Hawthorne money.
Yes. I was terrified that he would kill me.
I see. Tell me about Horton, Carla.
Poor Horton has been hired every year for the occasion. He's very, very old. Now tell me about you, Simon.
Well, I...
Mr. Templer, I don't mean to interrupt you and Miss Carla, but it's...
Louis, you don't have the ghost of a chance.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This script of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. In the cast, you heard Adrian Marden as Carla and Edmund MacDonald as James. Tudor Owen was the butler. Fred Shields, the cab driver. Louis is played by Larry Dodkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Whether it's comedy, music, or drama you're after, you'll find it on the big show today. And today also means a one-hour adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's exciting novel, This Side of Paradise, presented by Theatre Guild on the Air and starring Richard Widmark and Nina Foch. April is Cancer Control Month. Guard your family against cancer by joining the 1951 Cancer Crusade. Mail your generous contribution to cancer, care of your local post office. Hear the cast of Green Pastures today on NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for today, but the old-time radio continues tomorrow. Got a new episode of Case Closed with something from I Was a Communist for the FBI and Orson Welles in the Black Museum. We also have another episode of The Horror up tomorrow with Peter Lorre in Nightmare. As always, RelicRadio.com has more old-time radio. Links to everything else we have going on, including our reborn live shoutcast stream. You can find it live.relicradio.com. We've got some new players on the site, so Mac users and Windows users, some old-time radio you haven't heard on these shows is just a click away. Find that at live.relicradio.com. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.